Amen. 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 If you're with me, I want to continue in 1 Peter chapter 3. I know last week we didn't get there. We opened the notes. We just didn't get there. God had a plan. And I'm thankful that I am sensing a hunger. I'm sensing a searching. And I want you to understand, and maybe it's just the circle of young people and the ones that I've been talking to, but there's such a desire to want to know what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Not just, you know, carrying on how we've always operated, but sincerely seeking the face of God for what do you want to do in and through us. Amen? And I'm thankful to be a part of a congregation that believes in being Spirit-led, that believes in allowing the Holy Spirit to operate, believes in allowing the Holy Spirit to use us in our giftedness. How many know that the Bible says He led captivity captive and He gave gifts unto mankind? In other words, every one of us, without exception, everyone in this room has a gift that God's given you. Now I do believe that oftentimes we fail to teach people how to operate in their giftedness. But oftentimes leaders fail to teach and equip people how to operate in those gifts and how to allow them to be used, or even the understanding of how they are used within the body. But I pray that as we continue to mature as a congregation, that God will equip us to use those gifts, and that the fear of operating in those will be gone. Because how many know that the Word of God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? God wants you to use your gift. God wants you to operate in how He has formed you. And some of us are still being formed. How many know that we're like clay in the potter's hands, and God is forming us? And just as I've been studying this scripture, I've actually planned to preach this 3 weeks. And yet, even every time I've opened the scripture and begin to study, God has given a new revelation of what He wants to share. And so I believe that today is the day that we're going to share the final layer that God wants us to understand. And I believe that revelation in this scripture is walk in holiness. Now, I know you're thinking, well, this scripture is about suffering. This scripture is about being submitted to the Lord, talking about 1 Peter chapter 3. And how does that operate in being sanctified and holy? Well, first of all, we talked about in the end of chapter 2, in the beginning of chapter 3, we talked about submissiveness. And let me help you understand and encourage you that you will only be as powerful as you are submissive. Because when you understand the operation of God, you understand that He has organization within the kingdom of God. And therefore, if we walk in the submissiveness to the organization that God has laid out, under the authority that God's laid out. And I want you to understand, it's not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. I'm not talking about just church authority. I'm talking about the design that God has set up in this world for us to operate in. And the only way that we can truly walk in holiness is to, one, be sensitive and submissive to the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not submitted to Him, then how will we be able to operate when we have a counterproductive thought or plan? Amen. So we see here that, as we heard a few weeks ago in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, it literally tells us that when we walk, one, in submissiveness, and then we find this finally. And we talked about how it is important for us to have unity of mind. And when I say unity of mind, I believe that the only unity of mind that we will be able to have is if we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God tells us. So we have to have a unity of mind. We have to have sympathy is what the word says here in the ESV. But that word literally means to suffer with. We have to have an ability to walk in suffering with those who are in need. In other words, we're willing to set aside our own agendas and willing to walk into the path of others who are struggling to say, I am with you. We have to have a brotherly love, right? We have to have a love one for another. I mean, how many knows that charity begins in the house of God? Right? And so therefore we have to have a love one for another. How can you say that you are Christ? The Word of God says this. How can you say that you are Christ if you don't have love one for another? So you have to have a love one for another. And then it goes on and says we have to have a compassion. In other words, there's a stirring in the innermost being of our belly, if you will, that desires to meet each other's need, to care for one another. And lastly, a part of that same scripture in verse 8 is a humility. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Himself humbled Himself, right? Leaving the throne room of heaven, willing to come as a human being, but not just a human, but willing to reduce Himself to a servant. Willing not only to reduce Himself as a servant, but then to sacrifice Himself on the cross. That was the humility that Jesus Christ showed. In other words, if I was to look at this verse in verse 8 of chapter 3, I would say that these are the characteristics that Christ demonstrated. So in other words, I need to be submissive to Him so that I will be able to have this mind which was in Christ Jesus. I have to submit myself to Him to be able to grasp a hold of the plan that God has for me and how I am to operate amongst the people of God, right? But then it goes on into the next verse of verse 9 of chapter 3, and it says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. How many want to be blessed in the house? Amen. Want to be blessed, right? And so here we find this scripture now sharing with us how to walk out holiness in a world who is against you. How to walk out a lifestyle that blesses the Lord. How to walk out how Jesus walked on this earth. Amen? How many understand that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? We don't understand holiness any longer. We don't preach about holiness any longer. But yet God tells us that if we are not holy, then we won't see Him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the presence of God. I don't want to miss heaven. So therefore, the only way for me to walk in holiness, to submit to the Lord, to have a mind of Christ. That's what we just have seen. And now, how we should walk in the world. Now, we all know the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you, right? But a lot of times in our world, we live with a common rule. Do to others before they do to you. No, do to others as they've done to you. And that's sadly how a lot of the world operates. But yet one person said, to return good for evil is godlike. To return good for good is manlike. To return evil for evil is beastlike. To return evil for good is devil-like. I don't know about you, but I want to be godlike. Amen? Somebody said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But all that literally does is allow us to have a bunch of blind and toothless people. Amen? So we have to realize we can't give evil for evil. In other words, if we're operating as children of God and we're asking God to cleanse us from all evil or to keep us from all evil, it should not be something we operate in. We should automatically have an outflow of the goodness of God no matter what people do to us. It goes on and says, likewise, reviling for reviling. And when you consider the group of people that Peter is talking to, you have to realize that many of them were either enslaved or did not have any authority or power to be able to give evil for evil or any reviling for reviling. The worst thing that they could do was talk back to those who were reviling them. But it's kind of like being on the down the river of the Amazon River. I remember going with a group down the Amazon River, and we went into this one little hotel, and I thought, you know, okay, so let me clarify that. Hotel, right? Down on the Amazon River in a village, right? So the accommodations was actually surprising, you know. But I went to take a shower that night, and I turned on the water, and it was red. I'm not talking about blood red, but it's that Georgia clay red. You know what I'm saying? And I thought to myself, well, I could be stinky dirty or I could be clean dirty. Reviling for reviling is literally trying to wash yourself with dirt. Because it doesn't cleanse you. It doesn't help you. It's not beneficial for you or for anyone else. And so here the Lord is telling us how to walk in holiness amongst the world who already operates in hatred, who already operates in evil, who already operate. They know what that looks like. They're accustomed to that. They're accustomed to their own natural tendencies to lead them to revile each other, to fight with each other, to have this evil portrayed against them as they're giving. And yet here we are. We are not to walk in such a manner as that. We see that Peter tells us, even in chapter 2, verse 23 of 1 Peter, it says, when he was reviled, this is to talk about our Lord and Savior, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So in other words, what Jesus did was submit himself to the Father as he was walking on this earth, giving us the greatest example of how we are able to walk this life with all of the reviling and all of the evil that's being spewed out and portrayed. We're able to walk this life under the unction of the Holy Spirit, under the covering of his presence, knowing that he's with us. The thing is that God gets even in a different way, doesn't he? How many know that God gets even sometimes by saving somebody? God gets even some way by bringing life into a home that we feel like, God, judge them. And yet God says, let me love them. That's where we have to walk in forgiveness. That's where we have to be careful not to allow bitterness to creep into us, to keep us or hinder the plan of God towards somebody. Rather, pray for them, right? Mm. So in other words, we're told not to repay evil for evil. We're told not to bring reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, say contrary, contrary. On the contrary, bless. Bless, for to this you were called that you may obtain a blessing. Wow. When you suffer evil, don't do what comes to your natural man, right? We get smacked and that reflex goes, right? and how our natural man operates. But I also want you to understand that when we receive evil or reviling, we do not operate in the natural to give back what we have received. But I also want you to know that we should not sit and do nothing. But what we should operate in is the supernatural, because it is the supernatural power of God as we walk in the submissiveness to the Lord and having the mind of Christ, that then we begin to operate in the supernatural. And when evil is done, we can look and we can say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Well, you know, when you think about the word bless in this context, the word bless is where we get our word eulogy. And eulogy is something we say as to say something good about something. And you say, well, I don't know if there's anything good that can be said about that person. Well, let me tell you something. There's good about somebody. There's some characteristics. It might be hard. You have to dig a little deeper to find them. But if we can look over the hurt, if we can look over the brokenness and over the pain, we just might find that there's somebody there that has had a life of love but yet has been broken somewhere, and broken people break people. Amen? Amen? There's some of us who've been those who've been breaking people. But yet God's called us to something greater, a better path, a better life. A way of life. I mean, in ministry, if y'all were here on Wednesday night, sometimes I get a little raw, right? I get just real. I'm surprised they still come. But on Wednesday night, I told people, I said, you know, being a pastor is sometimes one of the most hurtful positions in the world. Because people who you absolutely love, who you sacrifice for, who you care about, who you're willing to answer the phone at 2:00 in the morning to rush to the hospital with, sometimes are the very same people that will say things about you and only focus on the negative and not the positive. And sometimes that's very hurtful. And when you're raising 4 kids in a pastoral home and you're trying to shelter them from those hurts, it's sometimes difficult. Kim and I made an agreement long ago and talked out how we will operate within our home. And so let me help you understand, kids are not ignorant. Kids hear everything. And they know what's going on around you. So how we operated in our home was that if there was a hurt or someone who was struggling, we would express the fact that, you know what, you know, they're really going through a hard time. They're really struggling. This happened in their past, and therefore they're really struggling with how to operate now because they need to be healed. And they're really a good person. If you really get to know this person, they're a good person. They have value. God loves them. He created them in their own image. And so we're not here to break them down, tear them down, throw them under the bus. We're here to love them, and hopefully somehow in a way that only God can provide, He will bring reconciliation and that we can love them through this process. And so for years, that is how we operate in my home, so that we're not tearing someone down, but yet we're uplifting someone. Has every one of those people stuck with us? Absolutely not. But yet when I see them at the grocery store, I can still hug them because I have no animosity on the inside. When I see them at the restaurant, I can go to their table with compassion and love and care about them genuinely and hope that by God's grace that they are in church somewhere, not because I have never thrown them under the bus, but I've always believed that God has something for them and God can use them and God can build them up in some way. Luke chapter 6 and 28 says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. We can read in Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 44. We could see how the operation of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you in verse 39, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And listen to this, verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Guess what? The sun rises on the just and the unjust. So we have to be cautious of walking in holiness. It's easy to get pulled into the flesh. It's easy to get pulled in. That's the easy way. Punch somebody that punches you. The heart, let me tell you something. You want to act like a man? You want to be, walk away. And I'll show you the greatest ability that Jesus was able to give. Love in spite of. God, help us to walk in holiness, right? Help us to walk in such a manner. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Called. Say the word called. Called. All of you are called by God. Man. And effectually what that does is that it helps us understand that our salvation has a purpose. So we're saved from, but we're saved for. We have a purpose. We only look many times that we're saved from our sins so that we can get a ticket to heaven. But there's an operation that God has given us if we're walking out holiness and righteousness in this world, having been saved. We're saved for the projection of that word and the gospel of Jesus Christ to others so that they can also find the freedom and find the liberty and find the grace that we've been given so that others can also experience what we've experienced. We're not saved just to come to church, clap our hands, go home, and not think about Jesus anymore. We're saved so that we can perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter where we are, because we are the vessels of God filled with the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the Holy Spirit to the world that's looking for something different from what they have. They know what reviling and they know what evil is. They know what that looks like. But when they give evil towards you and you operate in the love of God, then they see something different. And though they still may not like you, there's something about you that makes them curious. And God, I pray that we can make people curious. That they want to have what we have. That they want to, that they're stirring. There's something about that person. I don't like them. But I just can't get them out of my mind. Isn't that what happened with Stephen? When they were literally casting their stones at him in chapter 6 of Acts. And it says that they could not resist the wisdom that he had. Oh, they hated him. They didn't like the fact that he was taking away from their congregation, the congregation of the freedmen, but yet when they listened to him, they could not resist the wisdom that he demonstrated, and therefore they even hated him more. I know I got to close. I'm supposed to finish this chapter today. But So... let me step away from here. I'm standing here. I'm going to quit. What's fun is to watch the service later on and watch the camera guys try to keep up with me while I'm walking. I'm sorry, guys. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. Bless, for to this you were called, to obtain a blessing. Now, I want you to understand, doing this is not for you to have a reward. The word obtain is not a word of reward. It is a word of heritage or inheritance. So in other words, when we operate in such a manner that we're blessing others, we are walking in the inheritance that God has for us. Right? See, I don't know about you, but my parents are probably broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, I might get their bills when they pass away, right? But I'm not loving them to gain their stuff, the reward. I'm loving them and caring for them because, one, it's what God told me to do. But I'm getting an inheritance that's much more valuable than this world can obtain. I'm getting an inheritance of a mama who's been praying. I'm getting an inheritance of a dad who has studied his heart out, even at 87 years old and can barely see, still has his Bible open every morning and still teaches at the drop of a hat when somebody gives him an opportunity because he loves God. That's the inheritance that I'm getting. That's the blessings that I'm being able to know that I'm walking in. It goes on, and Peter begins to quote Psalms 34. Of course, you know, my AP teacher would have given me a lot of red marks on that because he didn't cite it. But the reality is that when the Holy Spirit's moving, it was his words anyway. Amen. Come on. And it says, whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open or attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, I'm reminded, says, for those who want to enjoy life. How many want to enjoy life? Everybody want to enjoy life? Yep. Everybody wants to enjoy life, right? It says, keep or refrain your lips, right? Let him keep his tongue from evil. Now, we can go back one book and look at James, and James says that don't even consider yourself righteous if you don't know how to control your tongue. Right? That's chapter 1, verse 26, I think, or 28. And then if you go into chapter 3, it says the tongue is like a rudder to a large ship, right? It's like a bridle. And it tells us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it sets on fire the course of nature, even by hell. Right? And so this tongue, think about this. This is the words of the tongue. The Bible says this, that the words of life and death are in the tongue. You've heard me say that I believe that the reason that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue because it is the most unruly member in our body, right? It causes deceit. It causes division. It causes an uproar. One little word of accusation can destroy people's lives. And so therefore, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we see how the Lord takes control of the tongue, right? And so therefore, it is a sanctified process. And how many know that we need to be sanctified? Yes. Amen? We need not just our spiritual life sanctified by God, but every bit of us has to be sanctified by God. Amen. Your mind, your heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. Deuteronomy says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, strength, mind. So in other words, this mind has to be submitted to God. It has to love God. This heart has to love God. And so, in other words, my whole life has to love God. I have to walk in God. So, therefore, I have to submit myself to God. I have to commit myself to the mind of Christ. And then I have to walk daily in this holiness of God. I have to submit myself daily to God. If I want to live this life, I've got to learn how to put this under subjection to God. Amen. How many know a negative person? Y'all know a few of those? Man. I mean, it's like, do you ever see anything good in life? I mean, Bless my grandma's heart, she's gone. But if you had a sickness, she had it worse, right? And whatever sickness you had, I've been feeling that too. Let me tell you about mine. How about walking in the presence of God and speaking life, right? Speaking life, letting life flow from us. Because this tongue only speaks deceit. And we have to turn away. I mean, that verse 11 gives us what we have to do when this tongue acts unruly. This is a hard word. This is one of them dirty words. Repent. We have to repent. It says turn away. That turn away is repentance. Repentance is turning away from something. But more than just turning away from something, you have to turn to something. And that is to the presence and power of God. When we turn away from sin, it's not just a deliverance of letting loose of something, but it's allowing of an infilling of something. And we need the Holy Spirit to infill this temple so that we will not continue to walk in the sins of the past. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The Bible says, listen, just because you seek peace with somebody doesn't mean they're going to be peaceful back to you.
That's right.
Not everybody is in a position of health in their spiritual life to be able to receive reconciliation. But this is what the Bible says, to live at peace with all men as it pertains to you. In other words, don't keep stirring it up just because they have not given you the green light to reconcile, but keep on seeking peace. Keep on pursuing peace. Keep on drawing near for peace. Keep on looking for opportunities that will give you the ability to make peace with that person. Because the Bible says if you come to the altar and to leave your gift, it says, if someone has aught with you, leave your gift there. Go make it. It didn't say if you have aught with them. If they have aught with you, go to them and make it right and then come back and offer your gift. Pursue peace. Pursue it. This is the hard word, sanctification. That's what sanctification looks like. That's what operating in holiness looks like. How many want to be a disciple of God, right? If you want to be a disciple, then you have to be disciplined to follow the plan of God. You can't operate in your natural tendencies. You have to operate in the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know this sounds, I mean, look, this type of radical response, this type of radical retaliation, the radical retaliation of blessing instead of cursing, is only by God. But let me give you the good news of this. This is verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I'm going to finish it out. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It's the pursuit of righteousness. We talked about this last week. It's the pursuit of righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. And maybe today, I don't feel like I'm righteous. Maybe today in your mind you say, I'm too natural to operate in the spiritual. I'm just being real, guys. This is sincere. Because I know that if someone does something to me, I'm not sure that I can operate in the manner that you're asking me to operate. Is that real? Just being real? And so I'm not asking you today, are you righteous? Do you have your halo on? Because some of us, our halos are held up by our horns. So I'm not asking you, do you have it all together? Are you perfect? Are you walking in the glory of God? I'm asking you, are you pursuing the righteousness of God. Because it says his ears are attentive to the prayers. I mean, this is a absolute encouragement for us to pray. My encouragement to you is, if you don't have a prayer life, why would you expect God to hear when you're in crisis? This should be the moment that encourages us to seek the righteousness of God and to pray like nobody's business. I'm listening to a early church father right now as one of my listenings, and he's talking about the fact that, of course, he's in a monastery. We ain't there. And God's not called us to be there, just to be honest. But he's talking about the struggle of keeping his mind on the Lord daily. He said, I've come to the place that I've not been given the ability to close myself in, and this is my PDV version of what he said, the Paul Dyer version. I've not been given the ability to just lock myself in and consistently think on the Lord because I have life that happens. He said, but what the Lord has taught me is that everywhere I go, he is. And that if I would begin to acknowledge him in everything that I do, then he would be with me to lead me and guide me through it. This is how I'm going to close this morning. And I really feel like there's some folks this morning, you know, we believe in sanctification. We believe that God can cleanse us, right? We believe in an instantaneous sanctification, but we also practice a sanctification that causes us to walk that out daily. And I like to say it this way. We believe in a sanctification by revelation. In other words, what God has revealed to me, therefore I have to sanctify myself in. And so this morning, I believe God has revealed some things to people in this room. That it's time to set your... What sanctification means, just a quick lesson. Sanctification is a setting apart yourself for the work of God. It is setting yourself apart for the holiness of God. And I would say, as you heard me say last week, that not everything that's in us is completely set apart for God. How many would say that this morning? Not everything that's in me is set apart for God right now. There's still some thoughts that I'm still having to fight. There's still some attitudes that I'm still having to put under the blood. There's still some things in my life that I'm still having to deal with. Just being honest, right? But today, I believe God wants to step into that weakness. How many understand the Word of God, what Paul said, in my weakness, then he's made strong. And the first step of overcoming, the first step of setting that apart is to admit that I need to set it apart. Right? And so today, my question is there something in your life that you want to set apart for God today? Is there something in your life that you know that has been an obstacle in your faith walk? That you've let that... I'm not asking you to come up here and tell everybody your secret sin or whatever that... I'm asking you, are you willing to say today, Lord, I don't want to have this attitude anymore. Lord, I'm tired of walking angry. Lord, I'm tired of having that unforgiveness in my heart because of the hurt that I had so many years ago. Lord, I'm tired of hiding the sin that I do when nobody's at home. Lord, I'm ready for you to purify me. You're only as powerful as you are pure. I'll say that again. You're only as powerful as you are pure. And you're only as pure as you are submitted to God. Because he's the one that cleanses us. He's the one that washes us from the sins of the world. So today, I'm not there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in this altar call. They're saying, do you want to turn something over to God that you've been struggling with that you can be made whole? And let me encourage you. The more things that I have turned over, the stronger in Him I have gotten. The more sensitivity that I have felt to the hearing the voice of the Lord. The more unction I have felt to be able to operate in the giftedness that He's given. Because I have turned things over. Today, if you'd say, Pastor, there's some things that I need to lay at the altar. There's some things I need to lay down. There's some, once again, attitudes, ideas, sins, things that I have allowed to be in the priority of my life other than God. And today I want to sanctify myself in Christ. Isn't that what it says? I'm not looking there tonight. Come on, if that's you today, say, I'm ready to turn something over to the Lord. Would you come? Would you say today? Let me tell you something. When we get sanctified, sanctification is a precursor to the outpouring. Don't tell me you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit if you're not willing to sanctify yourself. Come on, guys. I want to set aside, there's something in my heart that I need to lay before the altar, and I need God to cleanse me in that. I want to be sanctified. There's some things in me that I need to turn over. I want God to cleanse me. I want to start a new journey. I'm ready to turn that over to God. I know this is weird, right? We don't have altar calls about sanctification anymore. Why not? Today, I want to be cleansed. This is how David prayed that prayer. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, right? God, search me. Know me. Know my thoughts. Know my ways. Know what's in me. Today, I want to be made whole. Today, I want to be made righteous. Today, I want to be cleansed. Today, I want to experience the anointing of God like I haven't experienced in so long. Today, I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Today, I submit this to you, God. Today. I'm just going to be real. I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying. I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, I'm grieved because there's more who need this. Pharaoh was asked by Moses when the frogs came in. Y'all remember the story of the frogs, the things? Pharaoh was asked by Moses. He said, should I take away the frogs? And this is what he said, give me one more night. Look, it's up to you. If you're coping with something and there's something in you that you've been struggling with, you can have as many more nights as you want with that, or you can completely turn it over to God. Why not let God cleanse you from that? Why not let God give you the strength to walk through it, to sanctify your heart and sanctify your mind? Amen. Pray for a deep sense of your presence in this place right now. God, I pray for a stirring of hunger in us right now, Jesus. I pray for a sense of desire so deep that we want to see your touch in us. Lord, there's been hurt. There's been brokenness. There's been shame and there's been guilt that the enemy's cast into our lives that has hindered us from the sincere your presence. But today, God, we turn that over to you. Today, we release that hurt. Today, we entrust to you the pain of the past. Today, we surrender the brokenness, the feelings of hurt. God, today, we release it. Today, we ask you, God, to come into our heart, to cleanse every portion of our life, God. God, to wash our minds with the word, to cleanse our heart with your blood. God, today, renew us. Today, help us not to look at those who have hurt us with the eyes of contempt, but God, help us to see them as broken people as you do, and forgive them and love them and hope and pray that they too will find the grace and love of God that we have experienced. God, let there be a deep healing in each one of us today, God, that finds a fresher walk, finds an anointing that you can only give, God, an empowering then to walk over those struggles, to walk over the high mountains that the enemy keeps throwing in front of us. That we're empowered by the word of God to be able to say to the mountain, in Jesus' name, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it is done in Jesus' name. God, holiness and righteousness and peace, speak into your vessels today, Jesus. Let the word be deep rooted and seated in us so deeply, God, that it grows into an enormous tree of righteousness and hope in you. God, heal our heart, heal our mind, sanctify us, Lord. And Lord, those areas where we are allowing you to do a work today, God, I pray that this will be the beginning of a journey, that we will absolutely see your presence begin to move into those places of our lives, God, because we've consecrated it and separated it and sanctified it for you, God, that you begin to do a work in those places, and that the sensitivity that we find by drawing near to you begins to be inflamed and enraged, and once again, we're on fire for the presence of God. God, let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus.
Spirit of God.
Father, I pray that that song will be the words of our heart. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, the blessings that you desire to give are now but not yet. Now in the sense that you desire your kingdom presence to be made known to a world, and the blessings and favor that we can walk in, and the empowerment of God that we can find right here as we walk in purity and holiness and righteousness. God, I pray that this will be the stirring of revival in every home that has a passion for you, God. That this will be the unification of people. The Bible says that when they were in one accord in Acts chapter 2, it was when they were in one accord, God, one mind, that your spirit was poured out. I pray that this time of cleansing, this time of separation, this time of sanctification will tune our minds into the plan and will of God, to allow you to speak into us the path that you want us to walk on and the empowerment that you want to give us, so that we can see the product of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, we are your vessels. Surrender to you, Jesus. Have your will in each one of us. Let us be marked by your presence. Let us be vessels that operate in your truth. God, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. We praise you that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you, Jesus, for this cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen. They're going to keep on singing for a few moments. If you'd say, hey, Pastor, I want more, just come on. If you need to leave, you got to do what you got to do. But don't leave until you feel like you've gotten what you came for. Amen.
Sweet.